You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen One Institute. Tonight, we're fortunate to have myself, Kelly Ward, and Andy Shaw to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815, 232-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. I want to take a minute to tell you about our sponsor, the WAN Institute. The WAN Institute offers instruction on the principles of communicating with personal integrity to help individuals to achieve goals as well as enrich their personal and professional relationships and to create a win-win situations in every one of their day-to-day activities. The Institute was founded to promote and teach these skills with the goal of helping people to live authentic, successful lives using the technique of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. Tonight, we have Andy Shaw and Kelly Ward. They're two trained coaches by Dr. Pat Allen, along with myself. I offer a monthly drop-in ladies group. It's a $10 donation. I offer it on Mondays and Thursday nights. If you want information or information on any services, you can call the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. We also have Patricia Eltage. She's not available tonight. She'll be back next week. She does dream interpretation. She does life scripts and couples counseling. So we have a variety of services for anybody out there that wants to learn how to communicate either in your personal relationships, family, or work. We have Dr. Pat Allen's tools. So tonight we have Andy Shaw and Kelly. Are you available?
I am. I'm here.
Don't everybody jump to the phone.
Andy, you too.
last week we had quite a few callers. We hope those callers come back and get the check-in on what's going on. We kind of guided them, and hopefully they can walk. We'll walk them through weekly to make sure they're on the right track with their communication. So Kelly, she helps Dr. Pat Allen with her Zoom ladies groups. And Kelly, do you want to tell us a little bit before callers what's going on with Pat's ladies groups?
Yeah, we are having a great time. Dr. Pat is just as sharp as a tack, and she is helping these ladies get to I do, helping them with the tools, the communication. And she is, she's happy and proud of the new babies we have and the new brides we have and the women that are using the tools. They're saying passive, patient, and vulnerable, and they are respecting their masculine counterparts. And we're having a good time. We're having a ball.
Yes. And we have Andy available. He's trying to start up either a men's group so he can help men. So you ladies out there that have men or boyfriends or husbands or boyfriends that tools, just call me here at the office and you can either set up an appointment with Andy or we can work on setting up a men's group to help you men understand what women are like and how men are to pursue women. Andy, do you want to say anything?
Hello, everybody. I just want to help you. This work helped me a whole lot. Got me from emotional insanity to some rational sanity. And I just try and share my story that helped me, and hopefully it helps you too. Please ask your question.
Perfect. So hopefully everybody's out there listening. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. If we don't get any callers, I do have a couple of questions that you, if you're not available to call in, you can email me at the office and we'll answer your question on the show. And then you can listen to it on the archives. I have a lady that's torn between a guy that kind of comes and goes all the time. And she wants to know if she should just end it. My philosophy to her was, you'll end it when you're ready. This is the lesson you need to learn. Because if you end it now when you're not ready, you're going to always long to try and you're always going to ruminate, you know, what should I have done something different? And if you take it to the end, you will eventually it'll just fall apart. That was my suggestion. Do you guys have any other words of wisdom that you want to tell this lady?
Well, I think that you're right. I think that it will eventually fizzle away and it'll play out. But if you don't get the lesson, you repeat the lesson.
That's
so
what I
you've
said.
Nailed that.
And
you nailed
that. Yeah, she broke up with him before and then she wanted him back. So it's a breakup and then he ghosts her and then she pushes him away. So I said, you both are anxious avoidant. You push and pull each other. Eventually, you'll just disintegrate and then it'll work its way out. But you have to stay till you learn the lesson, whatever that lesson is. Stay till the end or you will repeat it. Andy, do you have any feedback for this lady that might be different or your suggestion?
I like Dr. Pat's analogy of the 15-round fight. And if you leave early, you're leaving in the 14th round and you got to start it over again. You
okay.
don't finish the fight until you get through all 15 rounds. So you're not done. The idea is to leave bored.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point of view. Yeah, where you don't even care anymore. And I told her you'll eventually get there. How long? I don't know. But if you leave too prematurely, you're always going to be wandering and thinking about him and you won't be able to move on with another guy because you'll still be over-focused on him. So she's kind of
definitely. I think you have to reach the point of apathy.
Yes.
And that's the spot where you go, what am I doing? Like, Ikes, I don't want to do this anymore.
That's true. Yeah. So hopefully we answered that question. Kelly, Kelly or Andy, do you have any questions from your people that you coach that you want to share with the audience?
Well, I have one lady who she really is exhibiting signs of being a man hater. And, you know, she's in a relationship she's been in 3.5 years with this man. And now she's decided to pick him apart for everything he does. It doesn't matter. He could bring her flowers. They're the wrong flowers. So, you know, he can do nothing right. Even
so how
if
do you help her? How do you help her?
Well, I told her she had to really analyze what was going on here with respect to why she was having these feelings. You know, I asked her, had he done something that she felt was triggering it? Like, you know, had he been unfaithful or something like that? She says no. She says that he's boring. So my question is, you know, Dr. Pat says the 7-year itch is really actually broken down into 2 3.5-year cycles. And with respect to that, that's right where she's at. So I told her she has to do the calendar, do the days when he's 51% value or if he isn't. And then at the end of that time period, she's got to look at it and make a decision.
That's a good point of view. That's a good thing. I have another lady who is, I think, in her early 40s, who hasn't been married, and she's wanting a guy that's 80% valuable. And I said, that's a hard number to get, especially when you've waited this long. 51% is a good number, and that's on his worst day. So it's just sad that some people are looking for the perfect partner, and they'll end up waiting until they're in their 50s, and then their time to have babies will be over. And they still won't have that perfect man. So, you know, part of being in a relationship is doing your part and hopefully he does his part and working together as a couple, not always about lust and what he can do for you. Andy, do you have any information on that? These women that looking for the perfect man, until it's almost too late, and then they end up with nobody?
Well, I just texted you 80%. My eyes nearly popped out of my head. Who can manage 80%? And I, you know, look in the mirror too. Are you 80% of what they want? And trying to figure that out, every possible combination, like it's just impossible. So, and I think that ask for what you think you can hold up your end of the bargain for too.
That's a good point.
If you can't be 80%, don't expect anybody else to either.
That's true.
Well, I have to 100% agree with that. Here's the thing.
What?
Nobody's ever 80%, 70%, 60%, or even 50% every day. There's
maybe
always
when you're first, maybe when you're first dating, you only see the perfect in them.
Yeah, the but perfect. You know, it's like Billy Joel says, we all wear a mask.
Yes.
Okay, so that first 3 months, that mask is perfectly affixed in place.
Yes.
Well, it isn't until month 4, 5, and 6 where, like, you know, they're clipping their toenails at the kitchen table and they're picking their nose at the movies. And, you know, so then you got to look at it and you got to go, is that big of a deal? You know, I had one lady and she was irritated because every time she would go somewhere with her man, he would lift up his shirt and scratch his belly in public, and it really irritated her. I said, why can't you just have a conversation and say, you know, I want to talk to you about something. Like, scratch your belly at home all you want. Hell, I'll scratch your belly for you. But, like, could you not do it while we're out at a French restaurant having dinner? Like, you know, no one's 80%. How can anybody hold that up? And Andy's right. I have a lot of women. They want these 100% perfect people. The last one of those was crucified. But here's the thing. How are you? Are you 80%? Are you 100%? Are you 75%? Wait a minute. Like, I didn't know you were perfect. You were Mary Poppins. So, you know, where are you? Who are you?
80% on the worst day. Are you kidding me? That's terrible.
Right?
Yeah.
Possible.
Yes.
How is that even possible?
Well, I guess, you know, some religions and stuff, they see their friends as maybe having the perfect guy, but you never know what goes on behind doors. Every couple has, you know, they work through their issues. So I just try to work with her to look at the good in him rather than focus on the negative. Because when you're only focusing on the negative, you will see no good and you will find more negative. Like, we suggest keeping that roster where every day you make a point, a check or a minus, good or bad. And then at the end of 30 days, go back and check your list to see if he's actually more good than bad the whole 30 days. And that will help you evaluate if
well, my lady's getting a little crossways with me because I'm like, okay, now you've done this month and you've said he was bad or good on each of these days. Now then the next month, what I want you to do is I want you to make a note of why he went below 51%.
Yeah.
And then like, let's look at how what you're saying, because some of the things they say are just silliness. You just go, really?
Yeah.
He left the cap off the toothpaste. So now he's like a 12. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, with Dr. Allen's tools about her stroke and stand, you can ask people to, you know, if there's something you don't like about them, when you use the stroke and stand, it's not criticizing them or forcing them to change. And that's one of the set, you know, that we teach. And if you want to learn about the tools, there is a free stream video on our website, www.drpatallen.com, that you can watch Dr. Allen talk about her tools. And when you start to use the tools daily, you become an effective communicator and you speak rationally rather than emotionally. And I know Andy's really good at explaining rational and emotional communication. Do you want to go and help the audience understand the difference?
In a moment, I really want to go back to that percent valuable, 80%. Okay. Last week, we shared the three paragraphs of the three ways to relate to another person. And I just want to remind us, myself included, that you can accept him or her, which means you may not always like or approve of what they are and do, but you find more assets and liabilities. So you stay and work things out. To accept another person is to love that person, even when you don't approve of his or her behavior. If you like more about them than you don't like, help them and work it through. Mutate, don't eliminate. If you find someone who's at least 51% valuable on the worst day, keep that person. And that is, again, from Man's World, Woman's Universe.
Do you know what page that is for the audience?
66.
Page 66 on It's a Man's World, a Woman's Universe. We referred to a couple of pages last week if you want to listen to the archives, so you can have it pinpointed on what you want to go to the book. That's a great book. It's very philosophical, but it has a lot of great tidbits. So, Andy, do you want to go over about emotional and rational communication?
Sure.
Okay.
Let me bring up the table because that's what I use.
Andy's good at spreadsheets from what I hear.
And I just use a website. So we have emotional talk and rational talk. And we're all very familiar with the emotional talk. And we'll just go through them real quick, which is there's like 10 rows. It's the you should, you ought, you must, you have to. Instead of those, say I want or don't want. I do not want, I want or do not want, or I want you to do something or I don't want you to do something. The emotional, I can't. I want or I do not want. I will or I will not. It looks like we have a caller too.
Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, yes, I do have a question. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
So I have been, so a man has been dating me for the last 6 months or so without a commitment. So just going on dates and things like
okay.
that. And I'm just wondering now, and we had a discussion about, you know, long-term plans and such, and he said he's not anywhere near ready to get to a place of commitment. And so
okay.
I was wondering, I'm getting a little bit uncomfortable with this whole situation now.
Well, can I ask, are you exclusive with him?
Well, we weren't at first, but he was getting really, he basically asked for exclusivity without the, so I haven't been dating others.
Okay, but now you're not happy because he has you to himself without. Do you have a timeline when you're ready, when you want to be married?
Yes, I do.
And what would that
sooner
what,
than later? So,
well, can you give us
like a year or two?
Well, is it a year or two?
I think two is the
two is your cutoff. So how long do you want to invest? You have to make give this man, you have to physically think of a time that you're going to give him before you want to say, I'm not, you know, I want to start dating others or move forward. Because you're just waiting.
You know, I was thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you have to have it your own mind so that you can go and have a talk with him. When you're mm-hmm. like most ladies would do 3 months or maybe 1 month or 6 months. You have to mark the calendar, and at that day, you're going to stay. And on that day, if you're not happy and you want to move on and get into a better relationship, you'll have the talk.
Okay, that makes sense. So I think for me, I've invested what I'm comfortable with. I think the 6 month mark is coming up soon. I think that would be my cutoff.
Are you having sex with this gentleman?
No, we're just affectionate, but
okay,
no. No,
but he doesn't know. He's being evasive on his. He could want. And the bad thing is when he's not ready, is he giving you any number or just I'm not ready whenever?
Yeah, there's no number given.
Because that could be scary. Yeah. It could be 10 years. Kelly or Andy, do you want to give her your point of view? I gave her mine. Do you want to give her a second and third opinion?
Sure. Here's what I'll say. You've got to, in your own mind, mark the time that you're going to give to this person. If he's not giving you any time when he might be ready for commitment, then he may never be ready for commitment. So if you are on a timeline where you, you know, your biological clock is ticking, or you say, you know, I want to be married by the time I'm this age and I want to have a child or children or three children, you know, you have to look at your timeline. You have to look at your clock and say, I want to have three children, but if I don't start having children soon, I'm not going to make it to three kids. You know, you really have to look at that. What are your goals? What do you want? And if he's not lining up with that and he's not willing to communicate about his readiness or his thoughts on when he'll be ready, that's something you have to consider. Maybe you stop being exclusive and start dating again.
And when you have when you have that time when you said 6 months, you go to him and you use Dr. Allen's stroke and stand, where you'd go to him and make an appointment. I have something uncomfortable I want to talk to you about. Is this a good time? Then you stroke him. It's been so great these past 6 months, you know, getting to know you, dating and moving forward. However, I'm not comfortable not having a plan for marriage in the near future, and I want to have kids before I'm da-da-da. So I will be dating others. And that's how you have to give him. It's not an ultimatum. It's taking care of yourself. And if he wants to keep you, he will step up and give you dates.
Okay.
Andy, do you have any opinion that you want to share with this lady? Andy, sure. You're on mute. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes me a minute to find
out. Okay.
So I always do my search of books, right? And I'm reading Conversational Rape. I think it applies. And, if it, you know, like usual, I just want to read this real quick.
Okay.
Unconditional accepting love is demonstrated by patience when undertaking any negotiation. Too often, people tolerate others, and the result is they use a language based on half love and half hate. This 50% undermining exhibits four characteristics: a one-up, one-down attitude, impatience and abruptness with the other party, vague and imprecise commitments, which seduce and rape both parties into causing pain when connections are not met or arrangements fall apart, and an unwillingness to ask for wants or cause pain by simply saying no to not wants. So...
So on her point of view, could you clarify what the parts mean that she's portraying and her boyfriend are portraying?
Well, she said 1 or 2 years, so that's kind of vague. And that's the first thing. I would give a date on a calendar instead of saying 1 to 2 years, because you're really at 6 months, so you really only have 6 months to a year and a half, right? And by this calendar date, decide if we're not engaged, I'm gone. Or, you know, whatever it is that price tag you want him to pay, or you willing, you know, willing to set, put a date and a time to it. Make it precise. Make it actionable and put it on the calendar. And if I can't look at it on my clock or my calendar, it doesn't exist. And I think that will help both you and him. So, and this is the characteristics of self-centered love.
Okay, I understand that. So would I then do the stroke and stand on that date? Or
yes.
Do I give him a heads up?
No, you do it on that date.
Yeah.
The date that you have, which you said it is going to be six months from the time you started dating, is what I thought I heard.
Yeah. I think that's enough time for him.
But
to
then
know
you have to
and
give
for me to know.
Yeah, but then you were vague on 1 year to 2 years. You have to give him a specific time too, when you want to be married by. I want to be married by the beginning of 2026. You have to be specific on not 1 or 2 years.
Mm-hmm. 1 or 2 years can be replicated multiple times, and all of a sudden you're looking at a decade later.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still using 1 or 2 years.
Yeah. I have another question, if I may.
Okay, go ahead.
So still talking about the same guy. So because we were, the first 3 months or so, I was still dating other men. And so I wasn't investing as much. And he asked, and he made it well, he made it known to me that he wanted me to invest more into the relationship. So that's me to plan more dates and maybe give back even more than I was, because I was sort of doing the Pat Allen 2-to-1 roughly.
Okay, maybe more, that's fair. Yeah, he would give you two dates and you'd give back one less than he gave to you.
One less.
Yes.
And so he was expressing to me that one of the reasons he's feeling that he's a little bit hesitant is because I don't give back as much as he's used to other women being more generous. And I'm just curious about your whole stance on that, because
it's some women don't mind giving, but when you do 50-50, then it eliminates the man being the man and the woman being the woman. You're both equal. And when you're equal, sometimes it can dissolve the relationship. That's my opinion. Kelly, do you have a different opinion when you want to do 50-50?
No, I do not have a different opinion. I think that, there's nothing wrong with giving back. I do think that you will usurp his masculine position. If you want to be the masculine energy and he wants to be the feminine energy, you have to analyze whether or not that's acceptable to you. If you want to be the feminine energy and he's going to be the masculine, then he should be staying in the masculine place.
Can I ask a question? Who makes more money? Because that sometimes can be a factor. Who makes more money? You or him?
He makes the well, technically he makes more.
Okay, so that's a factor. Sometimes when you're in a relationship, the woman may contribute more, but he still does the planning of dates and stuff and the paying of the date. Although she may contribute towards the date more.
Okay.
But if he's, if he's the breadwinner and he's courting you and he already has these things where he wants convenience what I'm seeing. He wants a woman of convenience.
I didn't really see that at first, because when we first met, we clicked on traditional values. Like, he wanted someone who would be more at home, and I wanted someone who would be more, who would be okay with someone being at home for, plans of having children. So we connected on that. So I was a little bit taken aback when now he's preaching this.
He wants 50-50. Because whatever you set up in the beginning is how it carries out through the whole relationship. So if he wants 50-50 now, how are you going to do 50-50 when you're staying home with kids?
That's right. Yeah, that was something that was confusing me. So it seemed like he kind of changed his mind a little bit.
Yeah. So that might be something that
like a bait and switch.
That's exactly a bait and switch. And that's kind
I
of like.
I feel that way. I felt like I got God. Yeah.
he's got you to where you're not available to anybody, but he's not committed to a date. So, and it's convenient. Now he's pushing to do 50-50. And we're not saying he's a bad guy. You just sometimes need to, you might want to start communicating.
I didn't set enough boundaries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have healthy boundaries. When you express boundaries, they're not in a way that you're scolding him. It's to stand up for you, not telling him what he's doing wrong. So that may be something. Okay. And if you want, you can come into my ladies groups. I get all these kinds of things where I help the ladies communicate. So that's kind of like a drop-in type thing if you want help down the road for that.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. So having said this now, I was thinking of making an appointment with him to, I don't know if I should just let it.
I think you should just wait till the 6 months.
The 50-50 thing, just leave it?
I think if he says I want to do 50-50, you stroke him. That sounds like a wonderful idea. However, I'm not comfortable doing 50-50. That sounds like we're a partnership.
Yeah, yeah, we're not in
that. Doesn't feel good. So yeah,
don't feel incentive to do that. Yeah,
yeah. So you don't tell him okay. the reason. You just because you're feeling centered, so it doesn't feel good. But we don't make him wrong mm-hmm. for asking. He has every right to ask for what he wants. You get to veto and say, no, that doesn't work for me.
Okay, that's good. Just a question. So in your opinions, what is a good amount of time to invest in the dating phase for someone who wants to be married?
Let's say Dr. Allen says 1 year, her book, Getting to I Do. There's the phases. Mm-hmm. Andy, do you have the book available okay. and goes through the whole phases, 1 to 3 months?
I'll look it up right now. One second.
Okay. There's certain phases. Don't get married for a year. You need Dr. Mm-hmm. Allen prefers you know the person for 1 year. So Andy's
four seasons.
Yeah.
Andy's
winter, spring, summer, fall.
Andy will give you the breakdown. 1 to 3 months. I know it's the perfect phase.
Yeah, the perfect phase is 1 to 3 months. The imperfect phase, 3 to 6 months. And as it happens, this is Getting to I Do, part 3. The perfect phase is chapters 9 through 11. The imperfect phase, 3 to 6 months, chapter 12 and 13. Negotiation, 6 to 9 months. Striking a deal, how to have sex, make it great, how to keep a sexual relationship, turning into obsessive addiction. And then commitment is 9 to 12 months. And that's chapter 17.
Yeah. So people are starting to look at the getting married between what the 9 to 12 months. They're picking out they're working through their contracts, their negotiation. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. you're at 6 months. Sorry. So you're kind of right at the end of the imperfect phase, dear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, 12.
That's right, I think.
Dealing with the code in every prince. Okay. And then 13 is how to handle conflict.
Perfect. I actually have a copy of all of Dr. Pat's books. I just haven't.
And she has the book. Yeah, it. She's got the it's on audio now. Getting to I Do is now available on Amazon through its audio book as well now.
Oh, no way. Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Yes. Now you can listen to it in your car.
Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate your
okay, help. call us back and give us the update.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear it. We love hearing the update stories. Okay. Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I love getting calls like that, but don't you guys love getting those kind of calls?
I do. One of the reasons I think that they're so great is because, they're exploring, one of my clients, she's been dating this man for 2 years and, he had said, well, we're going to be married by this time and blah, 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 blah. And he's totally baited and switched her now. Like, oh no, I can't get married now because of this. I can't get married now because of that. Well, she's getting to the end of her fertile phase, if you will.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I need help understanding what happened. And I'm like, you can't ever understand exactly what happened. All you can do is say, I can't do this because this is my timeline and I want children. So she's like, but I feel like I was tricked. So I don't know. It's like I said to her, you never know what somebody else is thinking. Can you use the tools and have the conversation? So, hey, Andy, what makes that happen? A man says he's committed and he wants to be married, in 18 months, and then the 2-year mark hits, and then he's like, oh no, we can't do it now because of, there was a bluebird outside yesterday.
Commitment. It's all about commitment, making and keeping them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge,
he's not keeping the commitment. then, you know, it's like she said, well, where are we going? And I said, that's a conversation you're going to have with him. You're going to have to use the tools and find out where you're going. Because he hasn't met the 18-month commitment. Now you're at 2 years. How much longer will you let him drag you along? You know, she's 27 and she wants 3 kids. And she doesn't want to have them all on top of each other. She wanted, you know, each of them to have their baby time without having another baby right there. So, and I said, well, that's, you know, that's logical. That's an interesting and good plan. Like, you know, okay, you want them each. So you want like 2 years in between babies. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, I see what you're saying. TikTok. Because every year over a certain age you are, you know, it's a problem. I said, you could freeze your eggs. And she's like, I didn't really want to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, you know, like the previous caller, mark a date on the calendar, decide when you've had enough for this phase. Let mm-hmm. them know if they don't do anything by that date, she's going to put herself on the market again. Sex stops until we get a commitment and something else going on. And there's another caller.
Oh, yes, caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for
Hello.
Us?
Hello. I sure do.
Okay.
Thank you guys for everything. You've changed my life for the better. I'm so excited. I'm in a delicious relationship.
Okay, what's going on?
Yes. So my fiance.
Okay.
Has an ex-wife and 3 children, and which is, you know, completely acceptable, obviously. And then I have a daughter from a previous relationship. So what I'm seeing, and this is where I'm calling for your advice.
Okay.
I don't really know how to talk to him about this or if I should just stay out.
Okay. What's your question? Okay.
So one of his kids, she's 16 years old. When she's now discovered, oh, my dad and this woman, myself, are serious. We're engaged. We're going to be living together shortly with my daughter who's 6, right?
Uh-huh.
She is having a difficult time with her dad being sort of in this new family unit, right?
Uh-huh.
And he told me the other day, you know, I feel guilty about, you know, my kids. And, you know, he's like, I love you and your daughter and all of this. And we're moving things forward and getting married and moving in and all of these things. But he feels a lot of guilt. So the 16-year-old daughter has been putting him in situations,
uh-huh.
but he's sort of allowing it. And this is my question.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, Daddy, you do this. And if you don't, it means you don't love me, right?
Oh, okay.
And sort of comparing the parenting. You weren't like that with us, the way he's treating my 6-year-old,
yeah.
right? And she's very much, and I feel for her because to her, it's hurting her instead of like, yay, you know, I'm happy, dad's happy, and all of these things.
So she's
and now she's making more and more demands. She's making more and more demands, and she's basically disrespecting him as well. Like, she's very disrespectful, but he just goes along with it.
There's two women. Who will he pick? His 16-year-old daughter or you? That's the fight.
Exactly.
So, exactly. Kelly, do you have, you know, it's a fight between who's going to win daddy's attention. The daughter?
How old is this girl?
16. She said 16.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah. Well, teenagers. And that's the thing, because I do. He's not leading in the situation, and she's leading the situation right now. And I feel myself feeling unsafe and vulnerable because he's acquiescing to her demands. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, that's what I'm feeling for myself. But I don't want to tell him, hey, you're not, like, leading here. You're not, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I need help.
Okay, Kelly or Andy, do you guys want to take that?
Yeah. Of guilt. To me, it sounds like he may be having a level of guilt that
he admits it.
Oh yeah, okay. Man, you're in a tough spot.
I know.
And I care about his daughter. I love her. I care about her. And I believe she sincerely likes me and my daughter, but she's feeling very threatened, you know, for whatever reason.
Andy, do you have a suggestion for this caller?
Could you actually have like a weekend with her, like a girl's pal weekend, and really sit down with her, do some fun things, have a manicure and a pedicure, and talk to her and tell her, I'm not taking your dad away. I want to share your dad with you. And is there some way that we can develop a relationship between us where I can love you too?
Yeah, I'm definitely open for this. And we spent the whole summer basically with his kids, and it was fun until it wasn't. And then she started comparing, right? Like, I mean, he decided to leave his ex-wife about the same age as my daughter.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? And it wasn't for me. So it was, you know what I mean? So I'm not involved in that reason for separation by any means. And
well, she's mean, so she's not stupid. She's old enough to understand. So that's why I said, if you had one-on-one time with her exclusively, just you and her, could you maybe develop a relationship with her that I don't want to say would get her on your side, but would alleviate her of some of the jealous feelings she's obviously having?
Yeah, and I could lean into that more. We did have quite a bit of that over the summer, or just one-on-one time where her and I would cook dinner together. We even talk on the phone sometimes directly or text directly. And I feel her inconsistency. Like, she wants to, but there's a part of me, and I could be reading between the lines, but I feel like if she lets her guard down, she's betraying her mother, right? Because the mom is still mad at I don't want her to be in the middle. She's a child. You know, she's a child. I don't want her to feel like she's in the middle.
What you might want to suggest too is to have a family counselor, so that you can go to a professional and have your daughter and your future husband and yourself there, so that she can share her feelings on why she's doing it.
That's a great idea,
than calling us. And I would rather you have a professional than you be the therapist.
I'm totally into that, because that's why I'm like, I don't want to make any move.
No.
Right. Until I value your guys' move to say, like, what do you recommend? Because I see him too. I don't want to put stress on him. He's a good man, and he's in the middle.
And
I don't want that to be like, choose her or me. No. I think we could have it all. But I just see that he's not leading in this situation, and the division between, you know, the two families, instead of them coming together, is kind of going apart.
Yeah. My suggestion is, you need to suggest to your future husband, I have an idea. Do you want to hear it? Let's set up the three of us going to a family counselor so we can negotiate in front of a professional. Because you can't be the one that's going to tell him what to do and try and get her on.
Right.
Board. That can't be. They'll both not like you.
Right. And that's what I didn't, because I'm like,
so I there's your, there's out, your
but option. I'm feeling like I'm vulnerable. Okay, great.
There's Thank your you. Option. And get a family marriage therapist, somebody that can negotiate. Yeah. You can look through your insurance, and there's plenty of, you know, they all do the same thing. Yeah. Let us know how it goes. Good luck.
I definitely will, because I have this beautiful relationship, and I can solely give Pat Allen and the work that you all have done for having this beautiful relationship. So I thank you guys so much. You've changed my life. Yay.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Keep up the good work.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. That's a tough one, because you know what? You know, The husband's other kids always get jealous. Oh, here we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do.
Okay.
My boyfriend has a daughter with his ex-girlfriend, and they had like a
like a court order against each other, but his daughter was sick the other day, and so he went to the hospital, and they were both together there the whole day. But it just took me by surprise, because the last I knew of it is that they weren't allowed to be in the same room. And so I just asked a question about it, and I think she's jealous because she knows that he's talking to somebody else, and he won't tell her about me because it'll just make it harder for him to see the daughter. And so yeah. It just made me feel uncomfortable. And I tried to, you know, just tell him like that you didn't do anything wrong. Like, I understand your situation, but I was just like uncomfortable with the situation because last I heard, like, you're not even supposed to be in the same room, and then you can't even tell her about me. And he got like really upset with me because.
Dear, I can already tell, because you said when I hear somebody say I had to tell him, that means you were one-upping him. You were talking down to him.
Oh, really?
Yes. You were telling him your point of view, which override his leadership.
Oh. So how do I say it in a way that will make me be cherished?
Dear, you don't always get cherished. Cherished is his. He can cherish you his way, dear. Cherished is not automatic. Whenever you don't get to trumpet and say, you're not cherishing me, do it this way. That's not your luxury. He cherishes you his way, and you accept it or reject it. But you don't tell him how he has to cherish you.
Oh,
yes, I see. That's a big one. Women think all men are supposed to cherish them, and they get to use cherish as a trump card. That's not how it works.
Oh, my God.
You need to cherish me, and you didn't cherish me. I'm going to scold you. That's not how it goes, dear.
So I just have to just accept the situation?
Yes, he's not doing anything illegal, immoral, unethical, or hurts your body.
Okay. So should then I say, like, I'm sorry for disrespecting you?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And don't use, just because you get your feelings hurt, you're going to get them hurt a lot when you're with masculine men. He's the leader. You don't get to suddenly take charge and be he's the president and you're the vice president. He's doing what's best for the unit, the unit. That's okay. You, the daughter, the ex-wife. He's doing what's best.
You know, I didn't have a problem with it, and I let my mom get in my head because she started asking me all these questions, and I'm like, I don't know. And she was like, well, you need to ask more questions and this and that. And my mom was
No, dear. You're not the therapist You best to not get involved in that relationship, because you're going to start telling him what to do, and he's not going to like that.
Okay. Yeah, he did not like it.
He's dealt with her. Don't be another her.
Right.
You're starting to sound like the ex.
Right. Oh, okay. So should I say, I'm sorry for disrespecting
you? Yes, you can say, I have something I want. You just say, I want to apologize, not I'm sorry. I want to apologize for disrespecting you and giving you my opinion regarding the hospital visit. That was not my position to do.
Okay.
And the next time your mother gets in your head, put your fingers in your ears and go.
Yeah, because I didn't even care. I didn't even give it a second thought. I was fine. Like, I didn't care at all.
Because you two.
Yeah, but she got like a devil. She got like a devil on your right shoulder whispering in your ear.
This man has two women pulling on him. His ex and you. He's not going to like either one of you if you don't respect him.
Okay. So say, I want to apologize for giving my opinion on the hospital visit yesterday.
Yeah, disrespecting your leadership.
Okay.
He's the leader. Okay. You can't trump him because he doesn't cherish you. He's cherishing you the best way he knows how. If it's not good enough,
he does.
You get to lead.
Yeah,
you
he
don't tell him how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, can I interject something?
Yes.
They're not married, right?
No. But he got me a ring and everything already.
All right. If you haven't done so, I avoided it for 5 years and instantly regretted it. But there's a Dr. Pat's book, Staying Married and Loving It, has some fantastic. has some fantastic communication tools.
I've read the other book.
Right, Getting to I Do?
Yes.
So plan this as if it's a project. And now you're going to get into sustainment of once the project is done, you know, how do you keep that project going? And in DoD maintenance terms, maintenance is 80% of the life cycle of the of anything, right? Mm-hmm. So you're only in the 20%, need to get to 80%. Because I see this coming up a lot in your future if you don't nip it in the bud now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, because I don't really know when to, I always feel like I should be listened to and like my feelings should always count. And if like they don't respond the way I want, then I get turned into a brat.
Yeah, you might, I was just reading the part on dysfunctional families and problems with friends and children. You might want to read that, particularly in related to your mom, maybe.
Yeah.
And just see what analogs you can find and how you might want to change that relationship.
Okay.
So I've learned to not talk about my relationship, certain relationships with most people, because I find it's not particularly helpful for my goals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think your mom's advice, while well-intended, mm-hmm. are going to get you where you want to be in the long run.
Yeah. Right, because she's a man, and I had to do all the work with Pat Allen, so I'd not like her, but it's still like, well, become like emotional.
Okay, we have to close up. I'm getting the word. It's time to wrap up. So thank you, caller.
Thank you.
You can give us an update.
Bye.
All righty, that's it for tonight. We hope to see everybody next week. Do you want to, Kelly and Andy, you want to say goodbye to the audience?
Yep, we love you. We'll be back.
Hey, I'll take care. Good luck to you.
Bye. We'll see you next week, same time. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.